of faith, the hall of fame, the chapter of faith, a bunch of ways people look at it. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll eventually get there. Hebrews 11, we want verse 11. Hebrews 11, 11. And then if you would also find Genesis chapter 16. Hebrews 11, 11 and Genesis 16. Hebrews 11, 11 and Genesis chapter 16. As we look at this hall of flaw, we're looking at our first flawed character. Last week, the focus was on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where our sights need to be set. But now we're looking at a sinner like us that struggled, and yet God did amazing things through this person because they were looking unto Jesus. And the message this morning is entitled DIY Blessings. DIY blessings, DIY, most of us know what it means, but do-it-yourself blessings don't always turn out how we want, do we? A lot of, you know, DIY projects end up a disaster and someone else has to come and do it. I remember as a mechanic, there was times people would try and work on stuff themselves and then they'd be like, I can't do this, and they bring it to us and then you have to fix the mess. And that's typically how it ends up happening. It becomes a mess. And then it's like, I don't know what to do. Here you go. Tried it myself. Didn't work. So please figure this out. And that's what happens when we try and do, you know, what God promises, God's blessings. We try and manufacture them, work it up ourselves. It becomes a mess and isn't the blessing that it should be. So that's, we're looking at Sarah this morning in Hebrews 11, 11. The Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And here's why the Bible says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So what'd she do? She was looking unto Jesus because she judged him faithful who had promised. Let's go, if we would, now to Genesis chapter 16. So all of this was made possible because she judged him faithful who had promised. And that will be the theme that we see over and over as the people are looking to Jesus. They're judging him faithful who had promised. Genesis chapter 16, we want verse 1. Now Sarai, and that's going to be Sarah. Her name is changed later to that. But now Sarai, Abram's wife, and his name will later be changed to Abraham. So it's speaking of the same people. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. One more spot. Go to Genesis 12, please. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. But he says, I will make of thee a great nation. This is the Abrahamic covenant as we look at it. And God promised him then that, you know, he says, get out of your family's land and travel. Where are you going? He says, just go, and I'll tell you when you get there, basically, is the instructions he gets. But he promises, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. So if God showed up to you and said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, you're thinking that I'm going to have a lot of children, right? I'm at least going to have one child, right? Because I have to in order for there to be a great nation coming from me. So that child has to be there. So that's the promise that God gives. And then we fast forward here. We go forward and we see in chapter 16. Now, Sarai, and the promise was given again several times throughout Abraham's life, and more was added to it. But it says there in chapter 16, verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. So, hey, it's not working out how we thought it was going to. So let's go about it our own way. Let's do it like this, Abraham, is what Sarah says. Go to my handmaid, and you can have her as your concubine. And this was a common practice at this time. To us today, we're kind of like, that's strange, because it is strange to us, but it wasn't then. That was something that was common then. And let me say, just because it was common doesn't mean that God approved of it, okay? Because God, in the beginning, created them male and female, and to have one wife and one husband. That was it. That's how God created things. His very beginning design, he says, this is how I want it. Anything outside of that is a perversion. Okay? Anything outside of one man and one woman being married, being together, is a perversion of what God created. So this is not what God wants. Here's the thing. And people will take this and say, oh, well, God allowed it, so I guess I could do it too. No, it doesn't mean that. I mean, God allowed Cain to kill Abel. Should we go murder people? Hopefully you're saying no, we shouldn't, because God has said he's against that. Okay, God has said he's against this that happened right here, this immoral relationship. God is not for it just because he allows things. How much nonsense does God allow in your life that you shouldn't be doing? Doesn't mean he approves of it. Okay, don't use it as an excuse just because you got away with it that God approves of it. God doesn't work like that. He's told us what he expects. Thankfully, he's very long-suffering with us. His mercies are new every morning. He's very gracious and kind towards us. But it does not mean his lack of immediate judgment on us for our sin does not mean that God approves of it or is okay with it. You have to grasp that. It takes faith to understand that. It takes faith to understand that concept. Okay? So God does not approve of this, but this was accepted at the time, and they go about and they do it, and they say, here's how we will fulfill this promise that God said of making you a great nation. And notice it's been 10 years, so this isn't just a short amount of time. I mean, hey, this promise has got to start happening here pretty soon. I mean, Abraham's up there. If you read through the rest of the text and other places, you'll find he's 86 years old at this time. He's up there. He's up there. And Sarai's 10 years younger than him. She's 76. They're both up there, and she's saying, it's not working out how we thought here, Abraham. So let's do it like this. And this is this DIY blessings. Let me say this. The blessings of God come from our faith in his ability to perform what he says. The blessings of God come from our faith in his ability to perform what he says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. She judged him capable of doing it. That God was able. Father, we come before you, Lord, ask you to help us as we study your word, as we learn from the life of Sarah. Lord, please just teach us and help us to follow her as we look to you, Lord God, and to see that, Lord, through you, what's impossible can be made possible. Please, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever lost your patience in a situation and decided to do it yourself? Maybe you were teaching a child or somebody new at work how to do a certain task, and instead of being patient and letting them do the task as they struggle through it and make some mistakes and, you know, get through it, but they figured it out, you just forget this. I'll just do it myself. You just kind of push them out of the way. Say, I'm going to do it myself. Whether we're waiting for someone to learn a task or for God's perfect timing to come about, it is easy to take over instead of being patient. Especially when you're teaching children, you have to have patience. You have to have character to teach children, to instill in them, to do the right things when they're little, because, oh my goodness, one of the most frustrating things is teaching children to tie their shoes. You ever taught children to tie their shoes? I mean, their little fingers don't move how they want. And it's like they come to you so excited when they tie their shoes for the first time. You do the whole little rabbit thing. I never learned that, but a lot of people did. Oh, the rabbit goes through the hole and all this stuff. And they do it for the first time, and you're just watching them, and it's like inside, I'm like, oh, just do it. You just, it's right there. Just come on. You're almost there. Just get it. And when they get it the first time, and it's like so loose, you're like, this isn't even, don't even walk to me because it's going to come untied before you get to me. And they're right there. You're like, just stay there. I'll come to you because it's not going to last. I mean, it's frustrating watching that process. But now look at you as an adult, and you can tie your shoes. Hopefully everyone here can tie their shoes pretty good and they stay tight, right? You wouldn't get to where you're at now had you not struggled to figure it out and do it and tie them horribly. And you know, sometimes you like tie them and you mess them up and then they're just a big knot and you're like, oh, well, and you just go run and play. If you didn't do all that and make all those mistakes, you wouldn't be where you're at now, able to tie your shoes like an ace, right? Because now you can tie them like an ace. But if you didn't struggle, you wouldn't be here. And it's easy to just say, oh, just let me do it. And probably parents have done it. I know we did, because sometimes like the kids want to do it, but you're like, we're in a hurry. I know you know how to do it, but we don't have 5 minutes to wait for you to tie one shoe. So let me do it. Let's go. We're out of here. So sometimes you do that, but there has to be a time when you say, okay, go ahead. You do it. And they just struggle through it and learn. But it's really easy to get in the way and just say, no, let me do that. Even at work with somebody, doesn't matter what you're doing. If it's a manual labor job, you're trying to teach them some new skill. If it's something in the office, how to enter data and all this stuff, and you could do it in like 1 minute, and it's going to take you 30 minutes to teach them, and you're like, oh, just let me. It'll be faster if I just do it. Yeah, but they're never going to learn how to do it, and we've probably all gotten impatient and just jumped in the way and just done it. We just took over. How often do we do that with God? Or we don't want to wait on God. I don't want to trust the promises you put in your word because they're taking too long. So I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to get some DIY blessings here. Impatience with God and his faithfulness is a real risk. But his work in Sarah's life shows us he can be trusted. Thankfully, even with the mess that she makes, and not just her, it was her husband was complicit in it, but we're focusing on her, so I'm just going to say the mess that she makes, God can still work in that. So even if you've messed up and you say, I'm going to do this myself, and you've made a mess, I mean, it's just a disaster. Guess if you'll judge him able, he can still make a blessing out of it. He can still correct your mistakes. That's the God we serve. That's his love and his mercy towards us. So even if you've messed things up, he can fix it. Now, just because he can fix it doesn't mean we should go about and just let me try it myself. No, just trust him from the beginning and you won't have to deal with that. You won't have to deal with the disaster that you can make. God can be trusted. We learn that from Sarah's life, but we often, however, jump the gun, make a drastic move because we think we know best rather than patiently waiting for God to do what he said he would do. We need to look at Sarah and try to learn from her failed example of seeking God's blessings her way. One scholar said it like this: from God's vantage point, Sarai's plan was one more example of the futility of human effort to achieve God's blessing. It's futile. It's just, there's no power in it. It's not going to happen. You see, Sarah struggled to have faith in God and tried to bring about God's promise in her own strength. But if you, on the other hand, will look to God, the impossible will be made possible. Just like it was for Sarah. And we're going to see how the situation she was in was, from a human perspective, 110% impossible. It was impossible for her to have a child. But God made it possible. And I'm talking about, this is the type of faith that we need. We need to have this type of faith in God, that God can do the impossible. See, we get so, we don't trust God like we should. And I'm right there with you. We do not trust God like we should. And we ask God to do the difficult. But we're all afraid, and I think I can say that honestly, that we're all afraid to ask him to do the impossible. Shame on us for that, because we're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I'm not saying something that's impossible, that's to gratify our flesh or anything like that. I'm talking about the impossible that he's already told us he would do in his word. Like going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. That's the type of stuff. That's the impossible from our perspective. There's no way that's going to happen. But if we have faith in God, if we trust God, God can. God can. See, we want to see churches started, right? We want out of this church, we want to see churches started. Well, right now, for this little band of people, that seems impossible. We can't do it. We're working to stay afloat ourselves here. So it's impossible right now from a human perspective. But yet we know that's what God wants. We know God wants churches started. That's it. We have to look to Jesus. We have to keep our eyes on him and trust him. And what is impossible for us is absolutely not impossible for God. And if we will lean on him and trust him and do what he says faithfully, then it will happen. Because he promised. He promised it. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. He promised, and she judged him faithful. And that's what we're to do. He promised, we judge him faithful. So if we look to God, the impossible can be made possible. I mentioned earlier that this, from the promise in Genesis 12 to what we see in Genesis 16, was 10 years. So it's not like Sarah just like, oh, it's been 6 months, forget this, let's do it. No, she waited 10 years. So she had put some time in for this. So she was waiting in Canaan for the promise. But there was another 14 more years of waiting for that promise after this. Look with me in chapter 16, verse 16. Genesis 16, 16, it says, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So he's 80. A score is 20. So he's 4 of them. So that's 80. 4 times 20 is 80. And 6 years old. So he's 86 years old. He is 86 years old at this point. Now go to Genesis chapter 21. And verse 5, Genesis 21, verse 5, it says, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. So it's another 14 years. So basically a quarter of a century waiting for this promise to be fulfilled. That's how long they're waiting. So they had to trust God for a long time before the promise was ever realized. 24 years. Hey, are we willing to wait and serve God faithfully for 24 years? If it takes us 24 years to birth one more church, are we willing to wait to see that promise realized? I hope I am. I want to say I am, but honestly, I'm hoping we can do it in 3 to 5 years. I believe we can. But if God has us wait a quarter of a century, will we wait that time? Maybe that's what's necessary to prepare us. Maybe that's what's necessary for us to learn to tie our shoes, is that 25 years. Can we remain faithful to him all through that? Just keep doing the work. Keep reaching souls. Maybe God says, you know what? It's not going to happen for 25 years because we got to reach the right man that's going to come and take over that church. And that's his plan. Maybe that's how it is. I don't know. Maybe it'll be longer. You realize 25 years, I'll be 66 years old. I hope it's not then. I would like to do it now while I'm younger and I have more energy to be able to go and do the work that's necessary to see a church started. But you know what? When I'm 66, I hope to still be doing it. I hope we're still doing it then. I hope we can say we have more of God's blessings, but because we did it his way, not our way. Remember that just because something doesn't happen on your timetable, it doesn't mean God doesn't already have everything worked out. God has a plan. When I look at the beginning of Liberty Baptist Church, I surrendered to preach the gospel in 2004. I spent that time preparing, getting my Bible training. And then I surrendered to start a church here in Albuquerque in September of 2011. When I surrendered to start that church, I had no idea where the church was going to be. I had no idea where we would meet. I was thinking maybe a school or a storefront we could meet in. I had no clue where we were going to meet. I just trusted the Lord. I knew that's what God wanted. So we were going to go forward and do that. And that was September of 2011. In February of 2012, I get a phone call that, hey, another pastor I knew called me and said, hey, we've got a building that you can use. Praise the Lord. He said, you can use it as long as you want, rent free. Okay, as long as we want it. Turned out not to be as long as we want it, but I'm thankful for the 8 years we had it. We got to use it, and God provided for us for that time. So we were in there from, basically March of 2013. We'll be 10 years old. This coming year in March, our church will be 10 years old. So we had it from 2013 until March of 2013 to June of 2020 is how long we had that building. And then, we lost the building and had to move out. And we prayed for 2 years while we were meeting in the war zone for this. And I talked to them about this building a year and a half even before that. And they said, no, it's not going to work out. You can't use it as a church, is what the former pastor told me, who was here. The people that owned the building told me, no, you can't use it as a church. It's been vacant for too long and some city's owning. I was like, oh, okay, fine. So that just went by the wayside. A year and a half later, it was 2 years that we were there meeting in the war zone. I mean, we were in the heart of the war zone. I mean, bad as it gets, you guys remember where that was. I mean, just horrible area. But, that's where we were at. And the Lord provided that meeting house for us, and it worked out. And we got to see, several professions of faith. And I believe, one solid young man saved, grew up in church and all of that. And I'm thankful for that. But then God opened this door for us to come here. We thought we were going to be somewhere else. I looked at us meeting with another church. We were going to go at off times. They have their service in the morning. We'll meet in the afternoon. We were going to meet at 1:00. That ended up shutting down. It looked like it was going to happen. Then it was, no, you can't do that. And then I called on this building, and the Lord opened the door here for us to rent this. And now we're trying to buy it. We're trying to purchase it. And I'm trusting God that God's going to allow us to purchase this building. There's no promise in the Bible that God's going to do that for us, but I know He wants His church to go forward. I know we need a meeting house, and based on those general principles in the Word of God, I believe that God is going to give us this building, provide for us to have it. Whether He does or not, I don't know. I can't say. I'm not God, but I believe He will provide for us to have this building. If not here, something else. God provides for His church. He's going to do that. So if we just keep following Him and keep trusting Him, then many of you have been with us. My family, obviously, from the beginning has been with me on that journey, but many of you since we started have been with us on that journey. Some of you are just getting here, but we're going on it together. We're seeing God's promises fulfilled together. We'll get to see that, and I want to encourage us to keep our eyes on Jesus, to judge Him faithful, because He's able. He's able to do these things, so to just trust Him. God will do it. God will keep His promises. Remember this, when you're tired of waiting for God's promises, keep waiting and trusting what He said, or you're going to create greater problems. When you're tired of waiting, when you're tired of trusting God's promises, keep doing right. Keep trusting Him, or you'll make a worse situation. You just have to trust Him. When God doesn't give the answer you're waiting on the Lord is still the right answer. That's profound, isn't it? Let me say it again. When God doesn't give the answer you're waiting on the Lord is still the right answer. It's like, man, sometimes that's just not what we want to hear, right? Right? We're waiting on God. We just keep waiting. If it doesn't happen, just keep waiting. DIY blessings never turn out how we plan. They're not going to. When we depart from the Word of God, from what He's said, and that's what Sarah did. She departed from what God said. God says it's going to come through Sarah and Abraham. It's coming through you too. It's not going to be through Hagar. That's not how this is happening. It'll be through you. I'm telling you, that's how it's going to happen. And they departed from that, and it was a disaster. See, when we depart from what God says, we create problems. There's so many examples in life. Like, you could just line up every one of us probably, and we could just all say, well, here's what God said, here's what I did, and here's what happened, and it was a mess. I mean, but just throughout life, there's just so many examples of people departing from what God has said, and it turns out exactly how he said it would. God's so good to us, he even tells us what will happen when we depart his ways. Okay, you want to depart from my ways, you're going to end up in the pig slop. You're going to be in the pig pen. Is that what you want? Yes, that's what I want, because it's going to be fun. Yes, there's pleasure in sin for a season. No doubt, there is pleasure in sin for a season. You can't deny that. But it'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. If you want God's best, then you must wait for his timing. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Who does that happen to? Those that wait upon the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We trust in the Lord with all our heart. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding is what you think and not what God thinks. Faith, it takes faith to do what God thinks, to do what God says, not what you want. It's easy to do what you want, and that's where the problems come in. And you might, you know, hey, there's pleasure in sin for a season. You can do wrong for a while, and it looks like everything's going good. And that's why I said it takes faith to believe this, because you can depart from what God says and think, I'm judgment-free, nothing's happened. Oh, everything that preacher warned me about, none of that even happened. Well, just wait. Just wait. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't be deceived. Look, if you plant a garden, hey, it doesn't come up right away. You got to wait for a season before you reap that harvest. And that works for the good and the bad. You sow good, hey, it's going to take a while for that good to come. You sow bad, hey, it's going to take a while for that bad to come. But guess what? If you just throw one seed down, you're going to get sometimes hundreds or thousands of seeds based off that one seed. See, that's how the reaping of sin and blessing work. What did God say? I'm going to make of you, Abraham, a great nation. We read that in Genesis 12. A great nation. How? From one seed? From one seed? Yeah, from one seed. From one seed, a nation that brought about our Savior. From just one seed, the blessings that came from one seed. But the disaster that comes from one seed. We're going to see the contrast here. I said earlier the practice of giving a handmaid as a concubine to the husband was common practice. It was not what God wanted, and the consequences were disastrous. It really brought nothing but strife to this family. The handmaid no longer had any respect for Sarai. It says in verse 4, Genesis 16, 4, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So it just brings strife into this one family. Sarai is now despised and mistreats Hagar. Look at verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And now go to 21. Genesis 21, verse 9. To see, this is the strife it brought to this family. Now think of the position this put Abraham in. He says, this is my son. These are both my sons. You're my wife. She's my wife. In you know, this culture, she's my concubine, but she's considered a wife, and I've got both of my sons here. And now look at the situation he's in. So Genesis 21, verse 9, it says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. And now he's 14 years older than Isaac. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. But look what it does. It tears this family apart. DIY blessings. Brings nothing but strife to this family. The consequences of doing things outside of what God's will are disastrous. It destroys this family. That's in the present time of what's happening. But future It brought generations untold strife unto this day. Now, an Arab country is a country in which most of the population is of Arab origin and or speaks the Arabic language. Many believe that from Ishmael was sprung the Arab nations, okay? If you look at, I'm really not going to turn there just because I don't really have the time, but you can look through the rest of this beginning part of Genesis and see that God promised about Ishmael, he's going to make a nation out of him as well. And you can see that. And it says he's going to be a wild man and he's basically just going to be kind of roaming, and that's how it's going to be. And that's really how the Arabs are still to this day. That's what's going on. But there are 19 Arab countries today spread throughout the Middle East and Northern Africa. Egypt is the most populous Arab country, while Bahrain is the least populous. I'm going to list the 19 here. It's Algeria, Bahrain, Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Libya, Mauritania, Morocco, Oman, Palestine, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Syria, Tunisia, United Arab Emirates, and Yemen. Palestine, if you want to consider them a nation, that's a whole other issue I'm not really going to get into. But we'll count it because this is how most of the world looks at it. 19 of them. Now, all of these Arab countries have fought against Israel since they became a nation in May of 1948. Okay, so we're talking about, hey, disastrous, right? When we do just one seed, it can be a blessing or it can be a disaster. And look at that, one seed brought us Jesus Christ, brought about our salvation. Praise God for all of that. God's promise is kept. But this other seed from the DIY blessings, look at the untold disaster it brought. And let me say, not to say that God doesn't care about those souls, because God cares about every soul. Okay, but this was not God's will. This was not what God wanted, was for Sarai to give Abram, his handmaid Hagar, to bring about this promised seed. Okay, they did it outside of God's will and it brought all these problems. So we look at these Arab nations, of whom many believe that Ishmael is the father of these Arab nations. And look at all of these Arab countries have fought against Israel just since Israel became a nation in May of 1948. Okay? Just since then. All right. So it's Algeria 2 times, Egypt 6 times, Iraq 3 times, Jordan 5 times, Kuwait once, Lebanon 3 times, Libya twice, Morocco once, Palestine 9 times, even though they're bombing them all the time, Saudi Arabia twice, Sudan once, Syria 7 times, Tunisia twice, and Yemen once. In total, 14 of the 19 Arab countries have fought against Israel since just 1948. The blessing or the cursing of one seed. Or maybe the blessing or the disaster of just one seed. One decision outside of God's will. Now, clearly, you know, they didn't have any clue it was going to be, you know, this far reaching, that it would cause problems like this. Because we're all in our own world, right? We don't realize the things we do now are going to impact generations. You know, thousands of years later, we don't realize that. But that's exactly how it works when we take matters into our own hands and do it outside of what God has said. I didn't have time to count all of them, but just from 2020 to now, okay, so that's 3 years. We're not even done with it, but from 2020 till now, almost 3 years, Israel has been attacked from Palestine, just Palestine, with anywhere from one rocket to 4,369 rockets at one time. This has happened 31 times from 2020 till now. That's how many times they've been bombed. Most of them are just 1, 2, 4, 5 rockets. The most during that 3 year period was 4,369 rockets. Another time was like 1,000 something. And there was others with hundreds, but most of them are lower number. But this is how many times they've been attacked just from that time in 3 years. For land and from who are supposed to be brothers. Supposed to be brothers. They're descendants of brothers from a DIY blessing, right? Trying to bring about God's way. So if we take matters into our own hands, the consequences can be disastrous. When we choose to take things into our own hands, we're going to mess things up because we're choosing to not trust God, but to lean on our own understanding. A couple problem areas that must be guarded in this regard in our lives, right here for us, and I'm kind of focusing on where the majority of you are at in your life stage right now, but is going to be areas that you will be tempted to take into your own hands and not trust God for, is going to be number one, who you marry. Are you going to marry inside of God's will? Are you going to marry a saved person, a person that loves Jesus, a person that's going to push you to serve God? Or number two, where you're going to work. Where you're going to work. I have seen so many people, you know, make a relationship decision because they're just physically attracted to somebody and the disaster that it brings about because of that. Because when, you know, all the puppy love and all this stuff and things are great now until you actually get into a serious relationship and then maybe you marry this person and then now we're committed to each other and we realize that we don't agree on anything. We don't think anything alike. We don't want to raise kids the same. We don't want to have the same beliefs. We don't want to do nothing the same. And now the disaster that's there that we made because we want DIY blessings, we didn't want to do it God's way. I've also seen people choose a job outside of God's will where they're just like, oh, it's more money. Well, okay, so is God telling you you need to leave and go to this other job? Hey, many times it's a job in another city, another state. Hey, has God told you to go to another church? Is there even a church there? You're going to be able to serve God there. We'll find something when we get there. What if there's nothing there that stands where you stand that believes like you do? And they set themselves up. And I've had people come to me and tell me, hey, pastor, they come asking for counsel. They're asking for counsel. And they're not asking for counsel. They're telling me what they're going to do. And I'm just like, well, go ahead. I can't talk you out of it. You already made up your mind. But these are two areas that are common, especially where most of you are at, the life stage you're in. You're about to start making these decisions and you got to ask yourself, am I going to do it God's way? Am I going to trust Him? Even if I got to wait longer than I'd like, am I willing to do that? Am I willing to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Am I willing to judge Him faithful who promised? Do I have faith? Do I trust God like I should? Am I willing to live that way? Or am I going to do it my way? Some DIY blessings. God is looking for you to have faith to believe the impossible is possible through Him. Go to Genesis chapter 18 now, if you would. Genesis 18, verse 9. It says in verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Let me just catch us up here. What's going on? Abraham's there in the tent and he gets three visitors, you know, messengers from God. I believe one of them is the Lord himself, what's called a theophany, a physical appearance of God in the flesh. Some would call it a Christophany. And they make a distinction between a theophany would be before it's Jesus Christ come, but before he was incarnate, you know, in what was it like? 4 AD, you know, before he came and was born of a virgin. And then a Christophany is a physical appearance of him after that. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's God. This is God speaking with them and then two angels with him, okay? That's what's going on in this story. And they show up to talk to Abraham. Okay, verse 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. So this is here. Here's what's happening. It's been 24 years now since he was first called out in chapter 12. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. So God's talking to Abraham and says, hey, I'm going to return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah's going to have a child. Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now remember, we saw this child was born. Abraham's how old? 100, right? Ishmael was born. He's 86. Now he's 100 years old, okay? Sarah's 90, okay? Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. What does that mean? Okay, basically she's past menopause. She's had menopause. She cannot have children right now. So physically, and that's what I said earlier, they're in an impossible situation. Physically, she cannot have children. It's impossible from a human perspective. Can't happen. That's what's going on right here. That's what's happening. Verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Look at that. What's the answer? Look to God. Is anything too hard for me? God is saying. the impossible is nothing to God. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Wouldn't you do the same thing? You're like, No, I didn't do that. Oh, man, could you imagine right there the conviction that would come in and the fear? I mean, you ever been feared? You ever been afraid when something like that happens? I mean, your cheeks start shaking and you're just like, oh, I'm about to get in trouble. This is no good. You feel your face flush and you're getting red and all that stuff. And you're just scared. You don't know. You know, you're just like, oh, man, I'm busted. You ever been there? Just me? Okay, a few of you. All right, good. I'm not the only bad one. But she denied it, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. But guess what happened right here? When he knew. She denied because she was in that moment. She was scared. But don't you think she thought about that later? And she said, huh? How do you know? Because she laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud where it could have been overheard. Because she's just in a tent. She's just on the other side being, you know, an obedient wife, preparing the meal and doing all that stuff. She was doing one of these things. Okay, this is what she was doing. She's like, I already got them everything they need. And they're over there. And here's the tent. It's just a tent flap. And she's just there like this, listening. Okay, that's what she was doing. She was listening to what's going on. I want to hear what these guys have to say. That's what she was doing. I mean, put it together. That's what's going on. And she hears this and she laughs within herself. But now he calls her out on it. And she knows there's no way he could have known that unless he's God. And do you think it might have been at this point that she began to judge him faithful, who promised, and her faith started to grow? I think so. That seems to make sense to me. Sarah, as I said earlier, is 90 years old at this point, so we can understand from her perspective how there would be some doubt. Can't you? I can. Like if that happens, it's like, no more children. It's gone. No more unless God intervenes, right? But put yourself in their perspective. We think this is Sarah and Abraham. They had all faith in God. They were sinners, human, just like you, had the same types of doubts and fears that you do. And how many of you think, I know God can, but God doesn't do stuff like that for me? You ever thought stuff like that? Oh, I know God can do it, but that stuff just doesn't happen to me. God can do miracles, but it's for other people. It's not really for me. And I think that's where she was at. I know God can, but that's not going to happen for me. And so she's doubting. The answer to all of her doubts, though, is very simple. And we looked at it. I mentioned it. The messenger simply directs her back to the one that is powerful enough to overcome any obstacle. And it's the Lord. It's the Lord. He says there, in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And again, I believe her doubt began to dissipate when she saw that God knew, that she laughed within herself. Now, through the meager faith of a skeptical believer, God made the impossible possible. Sarah clearly didn't have great faith through every stage of her life, yet God was able to use her mightily to birth a nation. She didn't. I think she's like the centurion wanted his child healed. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's where Sarah was. She believed, but she had unbelief. We believe God, but we have unbelief. We don't have the faith that we should. Just like Sarah, there's times when her faith was great, times when it wasn't. And that's like us, and that's what's going on here. But God was still able to use her mightily to birth a nation. Again, Hebrews 11:11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She's looking to God. Are you looking to God in your life for the mundane, for the regular, for the impossible, for the difficult? Are you looking to God? Is God who your sights are set on, who your faith is in, who your trust is in? We need to trust God for the impossible. Is it impossible for God to use this little church to make a difference? If we have faith in God and simply remain faithful to God's instructions for us, we too can see the impossible become possible through God. We desire to see souls saved, don't we? I believe we do. I believe everyone's heart in here wants to see people saved, come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But you and I can't save a single soul. You can't save one person. You can't. But if we'll be faithful in our witness, we can see God save many souls. You just have to be a faithful witness, a faithful messenger. You can't save one. I can't save one. But God can, if we'll just do what He's asked us, if we'll by faith trust Him. He's empowered us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what the empowerment He gave to His churches was, to go be witnesses. That's us. He's given that to us. Even if we feel inadequate. Sarah felt inadequate. She didn't think God can. He can do that, but not through me. God can use you. God can use you to reach souls I'll never reach, that the person sitting next to you will never reach, the person sitting behind you will never reach, the person sitting in front of you will never reach. God can use you to reach those people if you'll be faithful. That's it. That's it. Through the valleys and the mountaintops, just be faithful. Just be faithful. Maybe you're doubting God's promises as Sarah did. But you too can begin to trust God's word and see great things happen for the cause of Christ. Will you remain a believing skeptic, or will you be a faith-filled servant? Look to Sarah's example as she chose to judge Him faithful who had promised. Father, we come before You, Lord. We're thankful.